Welcome to one more episode, Micro Podcast, Digital Transformation Industry 4.0, IIoT and Emerging Technology. I am Vijay Gurti and I am your host today. With us today is Chandra Dasaka, Associate Vice Chancellor, University of Emerging Technology, a Harvard Certified Global Business Leader and Dynamic Six Sigma Black Belt Leader. 30 years of year after year success in IT experience in CRM, business growth and retention, employee engagement, program management office, end-to-end process management and project delivery. Also recipient of various awards, including Evaluation of the Year 2017, 2007 by the... recipient of various awards, including Evaluator of the Year 2007 by the General Motors Employee Involvement Association, Best PMO by General Electric, Associate of the Year 2008 by Sachem Computers. Currently serving as the Chairman of Computer Society of India, Hyderabad Chapter, Board Member of the Global Cybersecurity Forum, and Founder Chairman for Matrix Institute of Technology. Welcome, Chandra, to our micro podcast. So, welcome again.
Thank you, Vijay, for the sweet introduction. It is always very nice to hear good things about oneself. It's music to ears.
Yeah.
It's someone praising you, isn't it? Thank you.
Yeah, true, Chandra. Yeah, once again, welcome to our show. So, Chandra, I see you, right, working on a different digital transformation industry 4.0 initiatives. Can you share some of the challenges in your journey, especially the adoption of digital transformation industry 4.0 and emerging technologies in the current era?
Sure, Vijay. I will take this as two questions and answer both. Let us take the business benefits and challenges in adoption of digital transformation and Industry 4.0. Let us first define digital transformation and Industry 4.0. McKinsey defines digital transformation as an effort to enable existing business models by integrating advanced technologies. Basically, it allows digital technologies to be integrated into already existing business models, changing the way you operate and deliver your product or service. What are these advanced digital technologies? Let me name a few. Artificial intelligence, big data, blockchain, business analytics, chatbots, cloud computing, cybersecurity, digital marketing, digital twin, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service, solution as a service, Internet of Things, quantum computing, robotic process automation, virtual reality, etc. Thus, using one or more of these, if there is an attempt to improve your business model, then you can say that the business is in digital transformation. Now, who are the stakeholders who will be impacted? You know, for any business, the major stakeholders are investors, employees, customers, and society. These play a significant role for any business. Investors want more return on investment for every rupee they invest. We call it return on investment. Employees want career progression, challenging roles, moving with technology. Customers want more service, better service, faster service for every rupee they pay. Society wants transparent, environment friendly, socially acceptable business. Digital transformation satisfies all these stakeholders. Now let us see, what are the business benefits of digital transformation? Doing things faster with more convenience, faster time to market, more customer acquisitions and retention. Workflow becomes more faster and more shorter. Most importantly, more informed decisions. Now you can take decisions based on the information, and the information you are getting is real time and more accurate. You know, 80% of the organizations that have completed digital transformation reported increased profits. 85% say they have increased their market share. Now, let us see the challenges any organization faces in the route to digital transformation. Non-availability of skilled resources stands at the top of the list of challenges. It is true with any new technology. You do not get trained and skilled resources immediately. It takes time for the people to become aware, trained, and knowledgeable on the new technologies. With ever-changing technologies, it is all the more difficult to get skilled resources in numbers. The other challenge is employee pushback. By our very nature, humans like routines. We want to do the same thing again and again. It is called the comfort zone for a reason. You remember Newton's law of inertia? Things can easily start to seem grim when their routines are changed and uncertainty enters their lives. You may be unable to completely erase the doubts and uncertainty from the employees' minds, but you can certainly elevate them. I remember when I was working with Electronics Corporation of India Limited, I think in 1982, the computer TDC-312, which was delivered to Eastern Coalfields, Asansol, West Bengal, as part of their computerization initiative, was not allowed to be unpacked by the workers' union for more than 2 years because they were afraid that computerization will make them irrelevant and they may lose their jobs. You know, during those days, computerization is retrenchment, you know, unemployment is the general opinion. So the computer delivered by ECL was lying in crates. Only after a lot of negotiations by the management, the union allowed to unpack it and install. Another challenge is organizational structure. The digital transformation is a substantial initiative and may require changes in more than your employees' daily routines. This may mean changing roles, changing departments, or an overhaul of your organizational structure. Consider this. Just because your IT department has always reported to a certain person or function, or your sales team was set up a certain way, doesn't mean it can't change. In fact, making these changes can allow the teams to breathe new life into their existing roles and careers through this transformation. Another important challenge is budgetary allocation. The management should be convinced about the advantages and should allocate suitable funds. So there should be an overall digitization strategy and there must be proper budgetary allocations to that. Now let us see Industry 4.0, fourth industrial revolution, which we refer as Industry 4.0. We have seen the automation and computerization in Industry 3.0. Industry 4.0 is powered by the Industrial Internet of Things, IIoT, and cyber physical systems, SMART, autonomous systems that use computer-based algorithms to monitor and control physical things like machinery, robots, and vehicles. Industry 4.0 makes everything in our supply chain smart, from smart manufacturing and factories to smart warehousing and logistics. Industry 4.0 doesn't stop at the supply chain. It interconnects with the back-end systems like enterprise resource planning, ERP, to give companies an unprecedented level of visibility and control. Ultimately, Industry 4.0 is a major part of any company's digital transformation. Industry 4.0 is majorly built on 9 technology pillars: big data analytics and artificial intelligence, horizontal and vertical integration, cloud computing, augmented reality, industrial internet of things, additive manufacturing or 3D printing, autonomous robots, simulation and digital twins, cybersecurity. What are the benefits of Industry 4.0? Intelligent products. Now, we will have the products that are capable of sharing information about their health, their location, their usage levels, their storage conditions, and more. The data these smart products share can help you improve everything from product quality and customer service to logistics and R&D. They can also anticipate service needs, receive remote upgrades, and open door to the new service-based business models. Another benefit, intelligent factories, highly digitized, largely autonomous facilities that take full advantage of advanced technologies like big data, artificial intelligence, robotics, analytics, and IoT. These plants are self-correcting, employ smart manufacturing processes, and make it possible to deliver customized products and cost efficiently and at scale. Another important benefit of 4.0 is intelligent assets. Almost every physical asset deployed today has built-in sensors, which when connected to the IoT and analytics are the game changers for enterprise asset management. With intelligent assets, technicians can monitor asset performance in real time, anticipate and prevent downtime, employee dynamic and predictive maintenance, take advantage of digital twins, and tightly integrate assets and business processes. Now let us take the challenges Industry 4.0 faces. And as usual, a gap in the technical skills is at the top of list of challenges. Are our employees able to keep up? When looking to fill open positions, one should look for the applicants who understand both the manufacturing processes and digital tools that support those processes. Only with the right workforce, with business models, be able to successfully implement a new technology and maintain operations. Another challenge is data sensitivity. The rise in technology has also led to increasing concerns over data and IP privacy, ownership and management. Let us take an example. To successfully implement an AI algorithm, data is required to train and test it. For this to happen, the data must be shared. However, many companies are reluctant to share their data with the third-party solution developers. Further, our current data governance policies for internal use within organizations are inadequate to support cross-functional data sharing. Another challenge is interoperability. The issue is the lack of separation between protocols, components, products, and systems. Unfortunately, interoperability impedes companies' ability to innovate. Further, since they cannot easily swap out one vendor for another or one part of the system for another, interoperability also limits options to upgrade systems components. And look at the security. Threats in terms of current and emerging vulnerabilities in the factory are another significant concern. The physical and digital systems that make up smart factories make real-time interoperability possible. However, it comes with the risk of an expanded attack surface. When numerous machines and devices are connected to single or multiple networks in a smart factory, vulnerabilities in any one of these pieces of equipment could make the whole system vulnerable to attack. To help combat this issue, companies need to anticipate both enterprise system vulnerabilities and mission level operational vulnerabilities. Companies are not fully prepared to deal with these security threats, as that is not their major job or the core job, with many relying on technology and solution providers to scope out the vulnerabilities. Finally, handling the data growth. As more companies become dependent on AI usage, companies will be faced with more data that is being generated at a faster pace and presented in multiple formats. To wade through these vast amounts of data, AI algorithms need to be easier to comprehend. Further, these algorithms need to be able to combine data that might be of different types and timeframes.
Thanks, Chandra, for sharing the business benefits and challenges, especially on the digital transformation industry 4.0. So can you also share a few use cases from your experience to our audience and listeners?
Sure, certainly. I take this question with reference to COVID and what we are facing in one vertical, education. This pandemic has disrupted several practices and the people are forced to innovate newer methods. The conventional teacher-student at school model has taken a serious beating because of the impediment caused by COVID. This is forcing all the stakeholders to innovate and adapt to more unconventional yet attractive, practical and simpler models. The new year systems online teaching is gaining momentum and the learning became whenever the student wants and wherever he is. The learning management system, which were also very conventional all these days, have to become more rugged, scalable, and should essentially replicate the school, means a virtual school with classrooms, teachers, students, administration, assessments, evaluations, etc. How do you ensure the student is attending the class? In a physical class, the teacher takes attendance and while delivering the lecture, keeps observing the students, makes eye contact, observes the body language, and assesses if the student is understanding what is being taught in an online session. This is not possible. The teachers are also finding it difficult to adapt to these newer systems, teaching to the computer screen than teaching to the students. I know you will understand this. The students are also finding this is not attractive and effective. The conventional asking questions in the classroom, getting doubts clarified, the fun with classmates is all not as usual. Examinations must be proctored now to ensure that the student is not getting into any malpractices. Not an easy requirement to fulfill by the online system. Though to a large extent, this is addressed now, but not 100%. And by the way, the major impediment is availability of internet. Many students and teachers complain that there is no internet, or even if it is there, it is erratic. Thus, you are never sure if all your students who are supposed to have attended or participated in your session that day have really attended and listened the lecture. The systems are evolving, releasing a new version covering some of these and then field testing, which is the most difficult part here. As you know, for any testing, it is very important to get the factual answers, which as a developer company, we are finding it lacking. And thus, the newer versions are not suitably amended in some cases. Vijay. Vijay?
Thanks, Chandra, for sharing the excellent use case on the education perspective. So here comes our last question for today's micro podcast, mainly on the career opportunities for the students, freshers, and professional communities. You know, Chandra, right? People are looking mainly on the reskilling and cross-skilling perspective, which is the need of the day because of the fast-changing technological space. So can you share your insights or suggestions, especially for the students and professional communities?
This is very important, Vijay. You know, let me, before getting into what technologies, I would like to advise the students to be sincere first. If you are an electrical engineering student, when your graduation is over, prove that you are a qualified, skilled electrical engineer. Same goes with civil engineers, electronics engineers, communication engineers. As the saying goes, all roads lead to Rome. Every engineering graduate try to enter into IT. Maybe as salaries are more attractive there. If they want to join IT, then why should they join other branches in the first place? I did a study on the non-IT, non-computer science engineering students. Only around 10% are serious and sincere about what they are studying. And they chose that branch. All others are looking for a degree and a job in IT. Isn't it disheartening and pathetic, Vijay? Another important thing one should keep in mind is the emerging and disruptive no-code. As per the experts with no-code or zero-code, you know, you may call it either way, one need not have any knowledge of any programming language to develop applications. Now you understand, one need not be an IT or computer science engineer to develop an application if they are using no code. I am quite apprehensive. In the next few years, this will gain more and more popularity and there would be more and more users. And don't you think it will have a huge impact on the employment opportunities for the new IT and computer science graduates? Keeping this apprehension aside, my advice to students is to keep their eyes and ears open and to follow the evolution of technologies. And I feel they should have knowledge of at least one domain, be it logistics, supply chain management, anything. This will help them in understanding the requirements from an overall perspective. This will help them in becoming more employable. Hope the current generation of students, who otherwise are very intelligent, focus their energies in the right direction. I sincerely suggest to them to take up more and more internships and do as many projects as possible during their 4 years of graduation before entering into the market. Finally, let me give a straight answer to your question. We are becoming more and more digital, means more and more vulnerabilities. Thus, the scope for cybercrime also is increasing rapidly. Hence, Personally, I feel there would be a huge requirement for cybersecurity professionals going forward.
So Chandra, can you also share some, because you know, right, on the professional, like I know students should keep start learning things because of the changing fast world, technological world. So the same goes with the professionals also, right? So we have to start unlearn and start learning and start upskilling themselves. So can you also throw some light on that?
Certainly, Vijay. See, if you are looking at the market now, particularly with reference to the pandemic COVID, now, you just imagine a situation, people now, everybody is asked to operate from home. Okay, now, what does this mean? You need not come to office and, you know, work. That means now the offices will definitely prefer this, because if they, you are coming to office, the companies need to spend on the infrastructure, on the electricity, on the air conditioning, and subsidies they give in canteen. They save on all those things. But now imagine from the employee's perspective, if you are going to office, if you have a doubt, you will ask your friend, your senior, and then get it clarified. Also, you will, you know, over a cup of tea, you will discuss, you know, how does this problem, affects the other modules in the system. It is not that efficient when you are operating from home. You know, this is a major change. That means only those jobs which can be functional, can be done from home, they will be in place. Slowly the other people will get, you know, they will get their pink slips, number one. Number two, the technologies are changing very rapidly. Now, working remotely, and it needs a lot of, social change in this in employees. And with the change in technologies, you are not sure whether whatever you are doing now will be there in the next year, in the following year. So you should always keep your eyes and ears open. See how the industry is moving, and then upgrade yourself. You know, cross-skill yourself. You should be employable again. You know, if you want to be recruited by a big five company, then they should also look at you to take you. So can you continuously, you have to spend time in learning, and you should be an expert in whatever you are doing. Unless you are indispensable, the chances of retaining your job are less. Because when somebody is operating from home, they have Google available to them if they have any doubt. You know, if not all 100%, major problems can be addressed. A lot of online support is there. So your number of years of experience may not be relevant then. Okay, so keeping this in mind, I think every employee should upskill, reskill, and cross-skill themselves and prepared for the future. Let there be no complacency. You know, I am all safe. Those days are gone. I'm 100% sure, you know, there are many people who lost their jobs in the last 14 months. Now the industry is again opening up slowly now. The second wave hit us again. But let us see.
Yeah. True, Chandra. So I would like to conclude our micro podcast with two lines saying that, right, especially on the learning perspective, what you said, like you should be on the continuous learning mode, like, and then you have to make a habit of everyday learning. That's what my two cents, Chandra, from my side.
You are absolutely right. You should be a continuous student, no option.
Yes, true. Yeah. So that's what we are trying to do right now, Chandra.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks,
Chandra, for joining us and sharing your valuable insights. I definitely, our audience will love our discussion. I loved the discussion, the kind of information you shared, and the kind of use cases and the suggestions you suggested to the, especially to the student and the professional community. Thanks once again for joining us.
It's my, you know, I'm honored to be called into this podcast, Vijay. Thank you very much
Thank you
for giving
very
me
much.
This opportunity.